Today is a new day for me. Oh, I love that. So if you can just pull that out and look at it, and there should be some places to take some notes. We have, anybody else need one? Please grab one when you come in so that you are able to take a look throughout the week at what the Lord has chosen for the verse for us to feast on. It says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And that actually is a key verse for Pastor Bill's and my wedding. Nobody knew that. So yes, it is a new day. Thank you, Lord. It's a new day. Thank you. Yeah, God is good. And we also have a brochure here. You may have one of these, but it has been reworked and rewritten a little bit. So the one that has Teresa on the front looking at the waterfall with her arms up in China. And so I asked that about 75 would be made, so I think there are 75 there or so. And so what I would like you to do, I'd like to have someone pass these out because I am asking that you would give something away, that you would read through this and that you would pray and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to someone who can be encouraged. We're not advertising, we're trying to get souls in here, you know, get in there, but we are definitely interested in spreading the gospel. So you can call that what you want, but when you look at something like this and it gives you a picture right here of the glory of God and the presence of God, you can read through, and it's not complete about the ministry here, but it gives some highlights for you to be able to offer to someone if they're looking for a place and they want to be trained up and they want to be built up and they want to meet Jesus and they want to come into the heavenly realm. Even if they don't, this is a great place. Draw them in. And by the presence of God, they may not understand things, as evidenced by many who came to our retreat last week. They were watching things happen, and it's like, whoa, this is new. But because the Lord is, that's who he is, they were drawn right into who he is. So if we can get past our own fears of, oh my gosh, they'll think I'm weird. Oh, I could never say that to them. If we can get past that and go into their courts, if you will, with boldness and courage, then God will really back us up and honor us in that. Because the enemy does not want us to come into the revelation of his kingdom. Amen? So we're going to pass these out. Somebody can do this. Nate. Thank you, Nate. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the place in Scripture that the Lord seemed to highlight to me, which is Acts 13 and 14. Just want to touch on some things. I'm just highly encouraged, loving the book of Acts, and knowing that we are to create not extra biblical material, but we are to live beyond the book of Acts, way beyond the book of Acts. And the Lord wants us to know that this is a season and this is a time as he's preparing us, as the scripture tells us that we are preparing ourselves as the bride, but as he is doing that by his spirit through us, that we would step into the fullness of all that God has for us in this hour, recognizing that anything that you've experienced today, the enemy is bound and determined to try to snuff that out. That is his job. That's his goal. Because he can't get Jesus. He tried, didn't he? Remember the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus. And I'm sure all hell was cheering when Jesus was crucified, because all hell had no clue as to what was going to happen after that. Didn't understand the resurrection and didn't understand what would happen after that. So when it was finally realized by the enemy of your soul that Jesus is absolutely on the throne, has taken back the stolen keys, the keys to goodness and heaven, the keys to life, the life that all of us were determined and destined to live from the very beginning in the garden. This was the Lord's plan, that the enemy was determined to take those keys of life and of living a heavenly existence where there would be no sickness, no hurt, no pain. Can you imagine? And so man, as you know, forfeited so much in the garden because of the temptation and falling under the belief, the negative belief, that God didn't mean what he said. And so when that happened, the keys of the kingdom of God for all of us were stolen away. And that's why our Papa in heaven had to send Jesus. He said, these are my kids. They need to come into my family. I created them to be in my family. They need to be in my family, and I need to make a way for them. Figure that. We rebel, mankind, and God says, I want to make a way for you. I like that. That's our God. He's so faithful. He's so good. Not only will I make a way for you to spend eternal life with me, but I will make a way for you, for all of heaven to invade you while you're living on this earth. That's one cool God. I will make a way for heaven itself to invade your being, to invade your mind, your will, your emotions, your body. That's what it means when we sing all the time, oh, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. The Lord says, I designed it that way. So you may know me, you may have relationship with me through the shed blood of my son Jesus, because he is the resurrected one. But you may not have much more of heaven working inside of you. Hey, and the Lord wants us to be able to be so heavenly minded that we are earthly good. Aha. How many parents in here want to say, whoa, I need to hear that one again for my kids. We can become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I don't even like that because it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you why. If we're truly heavenly minded, then we become full of his goodness, and we are very good, and we are carrying his goodness. There's no good thing in us without the shed blood of Jesus transforming us. And as his life takes root in us and we call heaven down into our life, into our being, no matter where we are, we're in college, we're in high school, we're in the factory, we're at home, we're working in a hospital, whatever we're doing, the Lord says, are you living completely heavenly minded so that you are earthly good? It's like, huh? You mean I can have my head up in the clouds and enjoying the glory of God and live in the glory realm and still be able to go to work, go to school, and do all the things that I'm doing in a very easy, if you will, peaceful way? Yes. Why? Because when heaven invades us, then we are so full of the presence of God that the demons will run when they get too close. But if they're not running, we've got to do some business with God, because he didn't design it this way. He said, I love you so much, I want you to step out and say, yes, no compromise. Yes, yes, yes. I am yours. I am yours. And the glory of God is here. Presence of God is here. I had a picture of Jesus sitting on the throne with blood coming out from the sides today during worship. How? I'm undone by that. Power of God is here because his love is here. And the greatest power is released, as mentioned today through Jamie, by his love. These are not empty words. These are words to feast on. These are words to wrap our hearts around. Because we want to have dreams and visions and see the glory and see the angels and shake and rattle and roll with the power and the thunder and the lightnings of heaven. Of course. Because we were designed for this. But the Lord says in that design, as you become more heavenly minded, you will definitely be very earthly good. So if that's ever been spoken over you, you need to break that power in Jesus' name. If someone says, you're so heavenly minded, you're not any earthly good, just break that, because that's a lie. One thing I was reading in what Kenzie wrote, which made me laugh, I don't know if she got this from me, maybe so, maybe from someone else, but she has the song, This Light of Mine, yeah, This Little Light of Mine, which I really don't like. I don't like the song at all. Why? Because it says, this little light of mine. You know, I don't have a Pee Wee Junior Jesus Holy Spirit in here. Whatever. You know, and but she changed it to this huge light of mine. Is that cool? So I don't know if that was help from family or her own. I don't know. But whatever it was way cool. I liked that. It was really good. So as we take a look today at what the Lord is speaking and saying and doing in our midst. He doesn't want us to lose any of this momentum that you're feeling. It's like, whoa, you could feel in the spirit when we walked in today. It's like, wow, something's happening here. Today's a new day. Yes, Lord. You can't deny it unless you're dead. I don't think you're dead. So it was really like, whoa, yeah, I like this. And it's catchy because that's God's nature. He's the burning, flaming fire. And when the fire of God is present, it's like, wow, I want to burn alongside and with. Burn me up, Jesus. Amen? Is that good? So we carried and the presence increased. And the Lord says, so when you walk out these doors, who's going to be afraid of you? Ask yourself that. I would like to know, for your sake, who is going to fear you? Now, I'm not looking at people. You don't have to name people here, okay? Because we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of wickedness in high places. And the Lord says, if you deviate from that ever and not recognize that you do have an enemy that's a little peanut, but he carries a big whop, and that big whop is meant to take you down, take you out. Oh, unless you have a very huge light. The revelation of that, the reality of that on the inside. God says that must grow. And it will spill over then into your relationships. You will look at the person next to you. Look at the person next to you. You might have one or two depending on where you're sitting. Okay, that person is waiting for an encounter with God because of you. Because you carry the atmosphere and the presence of Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost. And so when you come in the room, there's an atmospheric change. And if they're sick, they start feeling better. If they're down and depressed, things start to change. Because the atmosphere changes. And people, yes, and the people don't, some people don't like that at first. But they were designed to. So you help them. Because you carry so much Jesus, you walk in and you are there with love. And you're very earthly good. Oh. Isn't that great? And that's what God has for us all the time, 24/7. Woo-hoo-hoo, there she goes. This is the way I want to live, 24/7. How about you? How about you? And so the person next to you may not be quite in the same frame of mind as you. When you're around them and you're carrying this atmosphere and noticing that theirs is not, you have the greater atmosphere. And you know that, and therefore it will change, period, because that's how you're determined to live. Alrighty then, so let's look at Acts. Oh, this is good. I don't know yet. Let me tell you. I'm telling you in a moment. And if you are new here and we don't have your email or contact information, we should, if you want to come back or you want to know what's going on. So please fill out a yellow card that is in the pew somewhere and put it in the little box back here. Also, before, as you're all finding the place in Acts 13 and 14, just a little mention, we had a fantastic celebration last night. Peter and Teresa, as you know, are married, so we celebrate. And is Kathy here? Here you are. This is the mother of the bride. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Yes. Oh, now you have the true bridal identity. That's good, girl. That's all right. I think that's a yes. Thank you. No, we're not passing it out now. We're free. It was awesome just to see the power and the glory of God falling everywhere. Okay. I did take a few notes. Not very many. Okay, let's turn to Acts 13:44. That'll be where I start. And if you don't have a Bible, will you bring one next time? How many will do that if they don't have one? Really? No, you're not doing that for me. The Lord's watching you. Bring your Bible or borrow one behind here. But it's really better to bring your own because I hope you all have one. It would be a good thing. Okay, Acts, that would be wonderful to find. Okay, I love this. It's all about evangelism. It's so my heart. Okay, Paul, if we're in verse, what did I say, 45?
44.
Okay, that'll work too. Either one, 44, 45. This is a really awesome account of Barnabas and Paul, actually prior to that, being prayed over and sent out to be able to do the work of the kingdom. And both were commissioned to be able to take the truth of Jesus Christ to the Jewish people, the chosen people. And they were also going to be released to walk into the distribution, if you would, or the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles, which would be those who weren't the Jews. So the Greeks and others who were around. It was very interesting to read through this passage and see the various assaults from people. But as we all know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, so we have to recognize our enemy as we're going to soar in the heavenly realm, and to recognize the truth of what they endured and to see what the plan and the strategy was and to see the response is really fun, because the enemy is relentless. He doesn't quit. The Bible says that he left Jesus for another opportune time in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was in the desert. And he tempted him with the great temptations, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. But it also says that he was going to come back, or suggests that he would come back. So he's around, alive and not so well, but he's around. And so we want to see what happened here and how God backed up these people, reminding ourselves that as we're stepping into the miraculous, and oh, do I believe that we are going to see miraculous signs and wonders, bar none, in this house, way beyond what we've experienced before. Many, many, many tons overseas. And many here, if you compare, which we're not. But we do know that God has been healing and releasing, you know, bam, 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 every service, every meeting, it seems, for a long time, but it's increasing. And the Lord is saying, if you will not be very wise, if you will not walk in the wisdom that I've released to you, you could stand to have some of that robbed. And we don't want to see that, do we, at all? And there's no fear in that. It's just wisdom. And Paul and Barnabas, they were pretty cool because they traveled together, and they really, they had their heavenly armor up and their guard on because they kind of knew some things, but they didn't experience every atrocity that could happen to a human. But they had some things and some victories to stay in and to allow to completely surround them. So when Paul was in this section of Scripture in chapter 13, if you want to follow with me, in verse 45, it says that when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and they began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Now, isn't that interesting? I think many times we run by all of the different ways in which the people that the enemy uses, the people would come and try to nix the word of God and the power of God. Let this be something for us to see. We have to dig in and pull it out and then see it for ourselves. But as we look at that scripture, we can see that the Jews saw the crowds that they were drawing when they were going to go to the Gentiles, and also that they were going to, they had already seen with the Jews. But they were filled with jealousy. And jealousy, if it's not from a godly perspective, which is, you know, God is jealous for us, he's jealous for our love, that's the only good jealousy. Really. When it's a love jealousy, that has to be kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. We may think that we're jealous with our spouses, but if it's not from a kingdom heart of understanding what that looks like, then we've got some issues and probably need to get some help and repent. Because jealousy is a really ugly, 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 ugly snake. And it's a killer. And it breeds all kinds of horribleness and competition and different things. I want you. And people, if they don't understand the root of jealousy and be able to identify it by the Spirit, good Christian folk may just cower under the power of that demonic spirit. So take that for yourself and think on that. Where might that possibly be lurking? Somewhere in my world or my life. Maybe with my child. Maybe with my wife. Maybe with my best friend. Have I ever experienced what the Lord would say, that is not from me? And have I reasoned in my mind, that it's okay. And the Lord today is giving you a sense of maybe I need to reexamine that. So if there's any little hole, the enemy loves to try to fill it. So it's kind of interesting, the wording that was used here. And as they were filled with this jealousy for the attention that they had been receiving, and also that Barnabas and Paul were going to receive, they didn't like that. They began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and blaspheming. And so there had been other atrocities prior to this that Paul and Barnabas had suffered, but they still liked the attention. They liked the bantering back and forth. And there have been many things in Scripture that also indicate that even those with spirits, evil spirits who would try to make a living at what they were doing, with what they were doing, once they were exposed, because they could see or they could hear or they could conjure things up, they had a spirit of divination. You know, the story in Acts talks about that. That God would say, you know, the jealousy of man will start to rise because we are selfish by old nature beings. And because by our old nature, our selfishness can exist if we tap into that, that the Lord says, if you will see yourself through my eyes, if you will say, this is my identity to be your bride, I realize what you have done for me, Jesus. I realize that at the very beginning of time, when we were in the garden, we meaning Adam and friends and such, even beyond that, Adam and Eve and such, that this bridal intimacy was stolen away. That this identity of who I am was taken away. It was forfeited in the garden. And if we would say, Lord, because of what Jesus did, because of the price that he paid on the cross and as he rose, that was released, that was purchased back for me. And that was given back to me. It was restored. So the very righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ in the garden, that was part of our identity, it's who we were, was restored at the cross and the resurrection by Jesus. As soon as we lose sight of that, or it becomes not too big a deal, or maybe we never really got that, the enemy has had or will have a foothold in our life. Why? Because that's his job. He couldn't get Jesus, but he can work on us. And where does he try to attack us? Through our old identity, through our old nature, through our old man. Because when we were in the garden, we belonged to the family of God. When we lost that and forfeited that, we beheld a new nature and we had a new father, and he was the father of lies. So if we have come to Jesus, we come into a new relationship, the new family, we have a new daddy, and we are new creatures in Christ. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. We are brand new. That is a miracle. And if we lose sight at all, or as we may do in our life, this is what the enemy is hoping for. He's hoping to pounce, to tread, to come, to influence, to tempt, to draw, to woo in a negative way. Come, come, come. Come back to your old nature. If we believe that unbelief and fear and all the things that we struggle with, even now, were crucified at the cross. If we believe that, then we will contend for that because that's our identity. That's who I really, really am. Then if I want to be heavenly minded, I will agree with who I am, who he says I am. I'm heavenly minded. And heavenly minded people, they don't stay away from others. They don't hide. They don't regress. They are not depressed. If we're heavenly minded, our minds are seated in heavenly places. Our heart is seated there. And the enemy says, let me twist that, turn that, pull that out so that we will compromise. Because he would fear, the enemy would fear any Christian who really understands their position, their identity in Christ. I am a bride. I am part of the increasing bride. I am a bridal warrior. That's who I am. I war for things in the heavens. I war for the heart of my king, and I am a bride in love. And that romantic, intimate relationship that I was designed to have belongs to me. That's who I am. And I believe that that Paul and Barnabas had a pretty good glimpse of that. They understood that to some degree, I believe. But the Lord says, in this day, under the new covenant that we have, the Lord says, I want you to go, I want you to fly way, way past that. So we read this and go, yes, yes, yes. But we can learn so much because the scriptures are alive here. And the Lord wants us to see what he's saying to us about how the enemy would like to render us powerless. Do you want to be powerless? No. You want to be powerful? Sounds like a good plan. So when we sing of his love and we worship and we bless the name of the Lord and we cry out, holy, we are partnering with heaven and the enemy and the snakes and the albatrosses that hold us in strongholds can't stand it. But if we hold on to that going, I don't know if I feel, instead of, that's who I am, we'll stay with, this is, I don't know how I feel, until Jesus comes so powerfully that he knocks us all down, we can't do anything. And that's where we're going. Lord, because you are boss, and this is about you. This meeting is about you. The wedding yesterday was about Jesus and the wonderful ones that had the opportunity of coming together as a picture, another picture in the body of Christ as two becoming one. What a cool idea. I'm not going to preach now about weddings because that was yesterday. But just to let you know that the Lord is saying, I'm raising up people to get it right, meaning to understand how big my love is and to step in and realize that it's not as hard as you think. Sometimes we run and say it doesn't work. Sometimes we just take off and say, I don't know, I just can't face it. And we continue to give in to the very snakes that were killed at the cross. Jesus holds the keys of righteousness, the keys of heaven, and the keys of hell. And he's already paid the price. So he has redeemed us. He has purchased us out of that place of misery and powerlessness and said, here are the keys. I hold them, but I release my righteousness to you. Live like that, and things will change. Okay, so let's move through this, and we'll look at some of the examples of what these guys did to really bother Paul and Barnabas. So they began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. Think about that. They were twisting or saying, no, it doesn't work, or thinking of different ways. Think of your workplace. Think of your home life. Think of yourself. What are you agreeing with at times, perhaps? Your feelings or what Jesus says? Think about that. So there's a contradiction that comes, trying to get them off their feet. So it'd be like someone running in here saying, that's not true. Then it could happen. It's okay. Not inviting that, but, you know, contradicting the word of God and blaspheming, coming against and rising. Let the power of arrogance rise up against the power of God. The power of God will be shown through humility and confidence and intentionality in how big our God is. So moving on, Paul and Barnabas, just read with me. It's kind of fun. They spoke out. What did they do? They spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God, verse 46, be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Here's what is going to happen. And then he reads or declares to them that now the word is going to be given to the Gentiles. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were happy. They're rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And, interesting, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. We've all been appointed to eternal life in this house. But they believed. In other words, they chose the message of Jesus Christ from Paul and Barnabas. They believed. That meant that if they believed, now hear this, that if they believed that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, that every spiritual blessing from above entered into them, and every disease, sickness, sin, everything, the power of that was broken over their life. All unbelief, all fear, all anxiety, everything. Think of the things we struggle with. It was broken because they believed. That's what that means. They believed. And they received, and they received eternal life. And now the Lord said, let me put eternal life in you. Well, I have the Spirit of God. Yes. But I want the kingdom to be deposited more and more and more in you, in a sense, in that you would feel as though I'm living for the King. And I feel that even when I get somebody a hit from someone else or from someplace else. It's okay because I'm a bride. It's okay because I know my identity. It's okay because I'm going on and upward, and this will end. Period. Because it has to. That's what the scripture says. I like that. Thank you, Lord. Verse 49, and when the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region, and the word of the Lord was being spread, and we are the spreaders right now. That's why I gave you the brochure, so that you hear rightly. It's a prophetic act. Read it. Pray. And it may need to be changed and tweaked again someday. It's, you know, we're busy people. But it gives you just something in your hand. It says, hey, if someone, just say, Lord, would you put me in communication with someone that needs to come into relationship with you? I can draw them. So it's a prophetic tool, and that was the reason for this. Amen. But the Jews, and here's what happened in verse 50. The Jews incited. Now here's another interesting word. First they were jealous, and they were contradicting. And now the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city as well. And they incited and instigated a persecution. They incited and instigated. Ooh, think about that. Have I ever been used for that? Has the enemy used me and I haven't even known it in my own relationships in my family? Ooh, how about in my church? How about in my job? Has the enemy ever been able to take advantage of the selfishness that I have still needed, that I am in still much need of to crucify and see my flesh crucified daily, where selfishness needs to go under the foot, even though it was already done at the cross? Thank you, Freedom Class people. That's really true. Selfishness was crucified at the cross as well. It's like, what? You mean I'm just not living as a selfish person? No, a new natured person can say, oh my goodness, it's about him and not self. That's what selfishness is. Realizing, or selflessness, realizing that it's about him and not yourself. So the enemy likes to capitalize on self and says, I don't want you to realize that you have a new nature. I don't want you to realize that you have a new beginning. I don't want you to realize that you're a new creature. I don't want you to realize that you can live heavenly. I don't want you to live that way, the enemy says. Oh, Lord, get the selfishness out of me. And the Lord said, I did at the cross. What's the problem? What's the problem? Oh, you've entertained it again. Therefore, you're hooking up with your old man. Why do you do that when you've got me as a dad? Different thinking. As I said earlier, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Thank you, Lord. Instigation, inciting. Ooh, not me, Lord, not on my watch. It's always someone doing that towards me. Ask the Lord. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm just saying we want to be, you know, we're on this pure walk here, so we're just trying to help each other out. And what they did is they instigated and incited problems, and a persecution against Paul and Barnabas came and drove them out of their district. But look, this is their response. Now, this is someone who knows his identity. They knew their identity. Because if not, they'd say, man, this is really awful. Oh, my gosh, what are we doing? This is crazy. I didn't know this was in the deal. Forget this one. This is way too hot for me. No, their response was, but they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them, and they went to Iconium. And the children were continually filled, or disciples, I see children, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Can you mark that somewhere if you're taking notes? Which is a good thing, which is why you have the bulletin with lines on there so you can write down these scriptures and these key things that God is revealing. What a plan. And so you can open that up and use a pen behind you in the desk or the chair behind you, and you can write some of that down. So you can actually think on it again. So Verse 52, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 14, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together, and they spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jew and Greek. So I found that interesting, because typically the synagogues are for the Jews, but also the Greeks were surrounded, but the synagogues aren't looking like the synagogues of today. The synagogues were more open, many of them, so there were places for people to sit and even hang out, you know, along the edges of the walls and such. And so there were also people who were hearing this. So the point is the message was given, and the Jews and the Greeks were receiving this message in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. But here we go again. Check this out. And the enemy's working again. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred, is that right? Yes, stirred in the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. That's ugly, isn't it? The Jews who disbelieved. So here's how, this is how powerful unbelief is. Now, there are some who have come into this church. They're no longer here because they don't believe. There may be other reasons, but unbelief is really powerful. I want you to see the power of disbelief or unbelief. It's ugly, and there's no Jesus in it. And what we need to do is fight where that may exist in any part of our life, because it gives the enemy a platform to come and strike us. And certainly wreak havoc and strike other people. Where might there be? It's not an easy thing. I don't believe it's something that we just need to go, yeah, you know, I really have a hard time believing this. I don't know, I've been at it for a while, and you know, they'll have to show me, and maybe I'll see it and I'll get it. But there's power behind unbelief. Pick that up. Hear that by revelation. If there's disbelief or unbelief inside that was crucified at the cross, then there's power. And it's not good. Negative power working against you on the inside and others. It's a powerful force. And it needs to be gone after with the vengeance of heaven behind you. No, I don't want any unbelief or disbelief in my life at all. When Cynthia, a couple months ago, was preaching about unsubmitted opinions, get that? It's a good one to listen to right after we got back from Ghana. And go on our website and see Cynthia Liptak. It's really good. And she preached on unsubmitted opinions. If you have a thought and you have an opinion and it's not matching up with the kingdom of God, what he says, it can become or may be unbelief or disbelief. And there's power behind that. It's like, whoa. These are not just little helpful. Now, here are some keys to live by. I just don't want sermons like that. They don't do anything for me. So I don't want to preach that way. I want you to think and get below that, underneath that, and say, whoa, I need to be aware. Oh my gosh, they stirred up against the minds of the people, the unbelieving Jews. They stirred in the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Well, you know, today we call it negative agreement. Gosh. And we say, oh, I don't want to negatively agree with anyone. Better not do that. We need to see the words of the scriptures with that and see how strong that is when there is an embitterment that rises up because there's been a stirring in the mind. It's a power. It's as strong as jealousy. Negative jealousy, not the jealousy of God. Because the jealousy of God is strong as the grave, the Bible says. Examine where, Lord, when, why. You know, I have a kind of a fun saying for my life, which is not on my watch. And it might sound arrogant to you, but it's my humble, Lord, not on my watch, please show me. I want to see your glory. I want to be a demonstrator of your goodness. I want to know your glory, Lord God. Oh God, not on my watch. That's my heart. And then, you know, I ask for help to get rid of the blind sides. Because God says, that's how I created you. I designed you. I created you to live that way. That is your portion. That is for you. You can go as far and as fast as you want. We are in acceleration mode. God is saying, don't sit back and get comfortable. When you sit back and get too comfortable while you're enjoying the good, abundant life, the enemy is still sneaking around because he wants all of us to be able to see these things, not just for ourselves, but for our lovely brothers and sisters in Christ and others to help. And when we help in according to God's heart and God's way, there's a kingdom way. There's a kingdom revelation way to be able to demonstrate love. That's our job. Demonstrate what he's done for us, because we've received it. We received what we don't deserve, and he received what he didn't deserve, Jesus. Amazing. Amazing grace of God. Don't take it for granted, he says to us. Not even for a second. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Therefore, verse 5, they spent a long time there speaking boldly. This is what they did. Oh my gosh. They spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. In other words, the word therefore says, well, because of this horrible situation, they're going to respond. And they're going to respond with a kingdom response. They're not hightailing it to get their new strategy, maybe in a month or two. Maybe next year when it's not so much pressure. No, the Lord says, therefore, because of that stirring in the minds and the embitterment, therefore, this is how they're going to respond. They had the kingdom plan. They knew from God what they should do. And when it's from God, it's filled with wisdom. We can bank on that one. Oh. Speaking boldly with a reliance upon the Lord who was testifying to the word of his grace. The Lord, through the people, is testifying to his own word. Whoa. The Lord, his word, his grace. It's all about him. He says, I want to give a testimony. I'm just looking for people who will give it. I'm looking for you. Signs and wonders be done by their hands. Wow. Granting that. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege. Okay, that's just kind of tucked in there in verse 3. It's like, whoop, tuck that in. It's like, whoa, no. Feast on that. Read it over this week. Over and over and over and over. Read this passage over going, God, where, when, how, why? Show me about me in my world. You will see relationships change. And they may get harder at first, even though you carry an atmosphere. But God says, live this way and it works. Irregardless of anybody else and their choices, if we live this way. And he gives us the ability, he empowers us to do this. It says here that the people of the city were divided and some sided with the Jews and the apostles. Well, we know that's life. Okay, that's the way it is. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware. Verse 6, check it out. They became aware of it. They knew what was going to happen somehow. They became aware. I would like to say, Lord, where am I not aware? Lord, I want to be aware. Am I aware? Am I aware? Am I not aware? Can you make me more aware? They were aware. What does it mean to be aware? I like the word aware. So what does it mean? Lord, they became aware and it must have worked. Something happened. It says they became aware. And they fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And they continued to preach the gospel. And then shift. Boom. All of a sudden, you're reading this going, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the book of Acts. This is what happened when they spread the gospel. When you get to verse 8, all of a sudden, it's time for the miracle. God's aware. He wants us to be. So it's time for the miracle. And some of us give up the very thing we've been pressing in to receive right before the breakthrough. Yes. Ooh, why? Because the enemy has 6,000 years of practicing to help us not be able to receive that. That couldn't be for us. That can be for family, friends. Be aware, the phone's ringing. And then to pick this up, at Lystra or Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet. He was lame from the womb. In other words, there was a big miracle. This guy couldn't walk. He was born without the ability to walk. That's amazing. So this man was listening to Paul as he spoke, and when he had fixed his gaze, now this really jumped out at me in verse 9. He fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well. Can you mark that somewhere in your brain, your heart, your Bible, whatever? Mark that, because Paul, as he spoke, he fixed his gaze on this man, and he saw that he had the faith to be made well. Isn't that interesting? You could see. What did he see? Do you see what I see? Do you see? He saw, and he knew. He knew. He knew that there was faith there. How did he know that? Little birdie tell him in the ear? But he knew what to do. He had a knowing because he was so close to the heart of God and so aware of the tactics of the enemy. He knew. Now watch what happened after that. And he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and he began to walk. And now here's the key word in verse 11. The crowd saw what Paul had done. So they saw the natural. They saw the result. Paul saw in the spirit. Paul saw and he knew what he needed to do. Paul was aware of the enemy's tactics. He was aware of the incitings. He was aware of the stirrings. He was aware of the blasphemings and all the other things that we were talking about. And he's moving through it, attempting to stay aware, remain aware. Very important to remain aware. They raised their voices, saying, "The gods have come like men, and they've come down." They began to call them Zeus and Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And even the priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted the apostles to offer sacrifice with the crowds. And the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it. They tore their robes and they rushed into the crowd, saying, "Men, what are you doing? We're men of the same nature as you," meaning humans. "And they preached the gospel, and we're preaching the gospel to you so that you would turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them." So here we have the various people who are watching the miracle rising up with their counterfeit gods and saying, "We're just going to dub you just like Hermes and Zeus." So the Greek mythology at its worst or best, however you want to say it, is rising up saying, "These guys, they're just part of Zeus' company. They're part of Hermes. Isn't that something?" Think about this. Now, whoop, you know, segue or bring over, you know, fast forward to right now. How can that bless me? It's like, well, that was them. I don't live in that day. But how does that bless me right now? The actual act of the Lord, the miracle of this guy getting healed, the power of the risen Savior coming into this body, and these guys render it to be some kind of counterfeit. So the true counterfeit is trying to rise up. And that happened to us in a village in Yonge with a juju high priest who no longer is on this earth. God is very serious, and so is the enemy right now. But God is saying, in our own sphere of influence, where would there be a counterfeit? A counterfeit affection, maybe, that you could have for someone else, with someone else. A counterfeit person coming and trying to influence you or draw you, because we are very potentially prideful beings and love to have someone tell us more and more and more. We're so wonderful. And draw us right into the counterfeit. Where, if and where, or could we have been drawn by the counterfeit to a counterfeit place, to a counterfeit spirit? I will tell you that there is no counterfeit spirit here. Jesus Christ is here, and the Spirit of the living God is here. And a counterfeit would maybe like to try and rise and twist and turn, but we're asking in humility, "God, no way." But God wants us to know that through the proper understanding of who we are in Christ and who he is and what the kingdom of God really is, that we're going to see a rise in the real. And any counterfeit affections that we might have towards one another or towards someone in our own home, someone even in our own life, anything that is a counterfeit to the purity of the risen Savior and the purity of God, we actually go on a war against it. Not against people, but against this type of counterfeiting. Counterfeit. Any type. Let that word come out of your mouth when you're with the Lord. "Lord, I don't want any type of counterfeit affection or connection." Affection or connection? No. Anything that would rise up and try to steal your place. Any type of idol at all, they would try to steal your place in my heart, in my life, in my relationships, out. And I'm relying on you. This is what they did. And you know that Paul and Barnabas, they just start talking about God. He's the one that made the heavens. He's the one that lets it rain on your crops, even when you push them off and smack them in the face, so to speak. He's saying, he's still God. What you say doesn't matter, just causes problems. But he's still God, and he still loves you, and still the rain falls on the just and unjust. Now, to wrap it up, because we're getting down to the bottom of this, and we can think on these things. Ooh. In the last couple of verses, in 19, the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. It's like, wait, whoa. How come he wasn't aware? Don't know exactly what happened there, but there was something that did come against him. He's a very strong, powerful man of God. But I want you to see the other side. Look what happened as a result of that very difficult time that he encountered. Here is the result of that. The disciples stood around him. Now, will you catch this, please? The disciples stood around him. He got up and he entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. In other words, he was dragged out, appearing to be dead. It wasn't fun. Appearing to be dead. Hello. The disciples surround him outside of the city, I'm sure in prayer and laying on of hands and everything else. And he gets up and he goes back at it the next day. The next day. In other words, no one, nothing was going to hold him down. That was the spirit that was able to rise. That's the spirit of humility that allows the kingdom of heaven to be released wherever we are. He carried the atmosphere of change. And the Lord says, that's what I want for each one of us. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and made disciples, they returned to various places, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, this is the last verse, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Jamie, can you come on up? Are you still here? Yeah, come on up and your team. We want to close with this. This is a meaty passage of scripture. And what we want to do is allow the revelatory spirit who is here, Holy Spirit, that is you, to have your way fully as we've allowed your word to dissect, to explain, to speak, to cross-sect anything at all that would enter or hinder in any way where we're going when we walk out those doors. As we have the privilege of participating in the reign over this place. The worship was phenomenal today. It always is, but it's growing, isn't it? It's like, wow. And the Lord says, no matter what you've been holding or contending or dealing or whatever's been at you in your life, you get to participate in the very presence of me. So, as we walk out this day, as we give glory to the Lord, as we've come into agreement, as we've become like Daniel, where we have said, I've made up my mind, I see, then the Lord will back us up, fill those holes, and say, that's a firmer understanding of your bridal identity. That's who you are. You don't have to go up and down like a yo-yo. You don't have to leave and say, well, it doesn't work. You don't have to partner with anything. And that includes people who are not walking in the kingdom. If you're tired of being weak, if that is you, if that's, I just hear that. Meaning, it's always happening to me over and over again. The Lord says, I show up in your weakness, but he also says, I make a way for you to be freed of anything at all in order to strengthen you. We call them strongholds, issues, hindrances. I don't care what the name is. Anything at all that would hint, that would keep us, though, from God's very best. As we see the word here, the Lord picked this scripture, this passage today, to really drive home that he's so in love with us and he's so serious about his love remaining. He is looking for a habitation, and that is this place. And you are in this place. First, put your hand on your chest. I am this place.
I am this place.
I belong to the Lord. You are welcome in this place. So as we close today, and these lovely ones will lead us in a final worship time here, and you're free to leave after that. Do business with God as He's speaking to you, because He wants us to be aware. There may be one word that you've received from this, hopefully a lot more, but we're trusting right now that God will make His way, make His path straight in you in every way. You are very, very loved here. I'm very proud of you guys. We're in this together. We're going higher and higher in Jesus. And we don't want any sneaky little devils eating our lunch, do we? Because our Jesus is so much bigger. Amen. So I'm going to let our worship leader lead us in that. Okay?